Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emotle. Home Africa, home sir. The beautiful African. Good day, good evening. Dumela, Tovela, Moloeni, Ashe, Hotep, Sava, Assalamu Alaikum. Africa. September 11th is the day dedicated to the founding of the Azanian People's Liberation Army, which was part of the Liberation Arm to free South Africa from the apartheid settler regime to democratic majority. Africa. The fighting force was founded in the name of Poto, that is in 1961. It is said that it was founded by the late chairman Nyathi Phokela and Mfana Sekhaya Qoboshe, who was the lieutenant general, who became the lieutenant general in the army in Poto. 1961 and 1964. As indicated, Mafrika, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, that is transitioned from Poto and was named in 11 September 1968. Mafrika, we celebrate and commemorate the Liberation Force because what it proves and indicates is that we as Africans have liberated ourselves. There is no doubt, or there can be no inkling, that we did not do it. We did it ourselves. And at that time, if you remember Africa, the West was hostile to the liberation movement. They were calling us all names, communist, this or that, terrorist. But in Africa, we fought. We fought against an illegitimate regime that was declared a crime against humanity by the United Nations. However, in Africa, today we have 21 years after the Black Vote. We have PAC liberation fighters as political prisoners in the country. They are being held by the black government in jail. And Africa, if our own, the majority government cannot release the liberation fighters, what else, Africa? Who else? However, Africa, it rests on us. It rests on the individual Africa, collectively us, Africa, because we keep on saying that you, the voter, you, the member of the family, vote as Africa. And let's vote community representatives to parliament that we can call and hold accountable. As we speak, yes, we have parties in parliament, but that is a party government. They are responsible to the party bosses, the party secretary, the party president. You cannot call them directly, and you don't even know who they are in parliament. So it's high time that we must elect our community representatives directly to represent communities in parliament. So you can have a telephone to call and somebody to call and say, look, I want this 1, 2, 3 things done. I want the political prisoners to be released. I want water delivered. I want toilets delivered. I want my pension money. I need a job. Like, for example, in Africa, we've had assassins, people that were killing Africans on behalf of the racist regime. Like, for example, Eugene de Kock. Eugene de Kock was sentenced to 2 life sentences and additional 212 years in prison. As we speak, in Africa, he has been paroled. He's out. This was a man, an agent of the apartheid regime that murdered, butchered, and roasted our people alive. I mean, statements of confession, Africa, like, for example, an accomplice, the name of Hlongwane, who turned the state witness. He says that some of the activists or the liberators or the fighters, when they were caught by Eugene de Kock forces, he says if they didn't ban them, then they shot them. If they did not shoot them, then they hanged them on that tree. And if, I mean, pointing at a tree, and if they did not hang them, they threw them in a pit and put dirt on them. And this man, Hlongwane, he helped. He was one of the guards, the security of Flak Plus, the farm called Flak Plus, where the liberators were and political activists were roasted alive, burned alive, or shot dead, or buried alive. So, my Africa, in celebrating APLA, because we did, APLA did it. I mean, they stood up and fought. That was the most unheralded and publicized war of the 20th century, my Africa, in Africa. The war of liberation from Cape to Cairo, Madagascar to Morocco. All the way from Algeria down to the southern tip of Africa. And according to the authorities from Africa, the National Prosecuting Authority, the POTO, that is the armed wing, you might have said that the paramilitary wing of the PAC, but they started the revolt in 1960. The POTO activity resulted in trial and death sentences in the Transkei. There were 24 hangings. And in the Cape, there were 27 hangings. Of course, with some overlap of some of the hangings that were not incidences that were not confirmed. So some of the incidences, as we say, that led to 10 hangings. And most of these hangings happened, executions happened in 1962. There were 9 executed persons executed for their role in the Katumano riots of the 1960s. And 21 persons executed for in their involvement in the Pondoland revolt of 1960. And 61 of these executed people were by far the biggest group were POTO members for their roles between 1960 and 1965, as we pointed out in the past programs from Africa, but also in commemoration celebrating the APLA Day, the founding of APLA. We've reported that also that on March 10th, it was March 5th, 2010, the families of the POTO people or members of the PEC that were executed went to Pretoria, Africa, to have their remains exhumed from the Pretoria West Cemetery to be handed the remains of their families for proper burial. And when they got to Pretoria, Africa, they went to look at the gallows and the floorboards because that's where their brethren or family members were executed. Only to find that the floors and the gallows were removed. So the families insisted that, no, put them back because that's part of history. You have the Heritage Day, you have the other symbols of apartheid, oppression, the killings that have been kept. Why remove the gallows and the floorboards? Especially that involves POTO people. But from the look of things, Africa, we have, as you say, we have political prisoners in jail. Now, you had the gallows and floorboards removed of executed PAC people. And these people were hanged. These members were hanged between 1967 and 1968. So the families insisted that, no, put back the gallows and the floorboards. And that's what government did. And as you said, Africa reported in the past that the POTO activists, that were hanged, my Africa, and whose remains were being exhumed, were Zibonelo's daughter, 29 years, Nontasi Shweni, 36, Jim Nkankweni, 26, Donkere Ntsapho, 29, Vuyisile Lekoba, 28. All were sentenced to death for their involvement in the attack, Phutho attacks in Langa, Cape Town, in March 10, 1962. And you had the six activists, Ngokeli Ngulwana, who was 28. He was sentenced September 1962. So the question is, Mama Africa, why hide this historic occurrence right in front of our eyes? Keep the political, PAC political, political prisoners, 29 years. These are the liberation fighters. You ask ourselves, what has this regime, this black government, what have they hidden that is not visible to the eye? And the question is, who is running the country? Now, if you cannot accede to the appeal and request of your brethren liberation fighters, who else are you governing the country for? And who actually is governing the country? Where is your consciousness, your duty, and patriotism to your own comrades in the armed struggle? The question is, who's running the country? And we are saying, Africa, it gets back to you, the individual, Africa. Because we are pedestrians. We are thrown out on the pavement. The only day when we count is the voting day. No. Do not send parties to parliament. Send community representatives elected from the party list and vote as Mo Africa, because we are the ones who are saying that we are concerned about the individual power, your security. But you've got to exercise your voting power properly, and let's stop sending party bosses and party henchmen, party sycophants to parliament. It's too much. And the appeal is across the board to the governing party, to the opposition, too. But especially in Africa, let's stand up. And in commemoration of Africa, this coming Friday, which is September 18th, a tombstone will be laid for Jephthah Kalabi Masemola. Now, as you know, that Jephthah Kalabi Masemola was a senior member of the PAC, assassinated on April 17, 1990, after release from Robben Island, having spent 28 years on Robben Island, imprisoned for 28 years on Robben Island. Effectively, he's the longest-serving prisoner. And he was killed by a staged car accident. So the history shows that indicates, the liberation history indicates that Jephthah Masemola, together with Samuel Chibane, Philemon Tifo, Dimake Malepe, John Kosi, and Isaac Ntimunye, were sentenced to life imprisonment for furthering the aims of the PAC. So when the PAC was banned, Masemola and others were sent out of the country to set up PAC underground guerrilla structures, Porto, which is the forerunner of the Azanian People's Liberation Army. Masemola was abducted in Lesotho by the apartheid forces, and with most members of his unit, later sentenced to serve live on Robben Island. So, Mafrika, other members of his group, I'm tired, Mafrika. They've transitioned. As you say, Jephthah was assassinated by a stage car accident. Samuel Chibane, he also transitioned to the ancestors. Philemon Tifo also has transitioned. And Dimake Malepe has also transitioned. So, as we have pointed out in some of the writings, Mafrika, time is getting closer. The window to do much and make an impactful contribution in terms of the PAC and the Africanist forces is closing, because the veterans, the most tested, seasoned, and mellowed revolutionaries who partly are not being listened to. I mean, we need to point out this, that that's where the problem is. These young folks, the upcoming upstarts, the upcoming rogues, don't listen to the veterans. And you cannot do much by leaving out a huge segment of the founders and the root of Pan-Africanism and the Africanist movement. Now, as it is reported, it is later in 1964 when the Rivonia trial happened and the arrest of Rolihlahla Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, Govan Mbeki, Ahmed Kathrada, Wilton Nkwai, Raymond Mhlaba, Elias Mtsweledi, and Ndum Langeni. They joined the PAC Freedom Fighters on Robben Island. But Mafika, this is a point also that has to be taught about children, because you see, if you start, you keep on hiding this, that's why the country is derailing, because there is no discipline, there is no consciousness. Is every body do an opportunist take as much as they can? They are ripping off the country, and you put in people there without the ideological principles. Because once you start hiding the history of the liberation struggle, that's where everything goes wrong. So we have a bunch of opportunists and scavengers trying to take as much as they can before they leave. And we don't know if they're going to be buried with that money. But the fact is that the individual Maafrika, are being burdened. You suffer because you're not voting for the right people. And as we pointed out, Maafrika, many Maafrika perished. They were assassinated, they were poisoned, and all sorts of attacks. You can imagine Maafrika. Even here, as I pointed out in the past programs, that sometimes you find yourself tense, you can't think straight, you mix up numbers, you do this. And the suspicion is they've even gone to using cars as weapons of assassination. They've used poison. They've used radio waves and satellite too. So the technology, weaponization of technology has advanced. And we are still marking time by not being able to follow rules of procedure, not being disciplined enough, not having a unitary leadership, fighting for positions. It's and look at the wealth, the resources that has passed by while we are not focused and not even fighting over ideology. It might be operational matters, but the whole organization is going down the dustbin and people are standing up fighting. Look at Syria. The same situation. Now, the whole country has been destroyed, pulverized. There's no standing building there. And you have people drowning in the Mediterranean, sometimes being treated like animals, food thrown at them as animals because they're refugees from their country, because of one despot. So we are saying that the rogues, the upstarts, these new ones who want leadership and can carry it out, it has to stop. And we need unity within the ranks of the liberation, because too much sacrifice has been done. And this is both an intellectual resource, a historical resource, not to be wasted. Also, Matai and Maafrika, we've also lost the likes of Generals Yaya Nkonyene, Moshoeshoe Makgalefa, and Reggie Khumalo, I mean, in commemoration of the APLA Day. And also, here in the United States, we've had other comrades like who've transitioned to the ancestors, Dr. Peter Mulutsi, founding member of the PAC, NEC, Secretary for Pan-African Affairs, Iris Mulutsi's wife, Victoria Mahlamakolo, and Victor Kabo, all former members of the PAC North American branch. And earlier on in June 19th, we've lost Dr. Nana Sishibe. So, as we are saying, the time is closing in. To those Maafrika who are listening, we are saying to you, let's get our act together. We cannot be fighting over small things and have an organization that's not being able to get more than 1%, less than 1%. And for you to go to parliament, they have to, you know, like, you get to get parcela, a gift, so that you go there. It's embarrassing. The Pan-Africanist Congress is the premier Pan-Africanist organization. Also, very important, because that is the only formation in Africa that's there. So we got to get it up, Mafrika, and get it moving. And among the Matayas, too, Mafrika, we've had George Nyatipukela, former PEC president in exile, who died suddenly in Zimbabwe in 1985. And all our condolences, Mafrika, but all our celebration, because we've done it. And the Matayas will never regret the time that they spend in the struggle. They don't. And we cannot waste their resource, their contributions, their sacrifice, and their life, because we are all mortals, and our stay here is limited. And it was pointed out also that between the generation of Robben Island and the generation of 1976, there's little time left. We have little time on this earth, and we cannot be jiving and ducking and playing with the most precious resource, which is the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. Now, Africa, September 12th was also the day Stephen Biko surrendered, Africa, to the pains and the beatings and the assaults and the torture under the apartheid regime. Biko, Africa, dubbed as the icon of Black Consciousness Movement. And very interesting, Africa, because his full name is Steve Bantu Biko. Now, the word Bantu was derisive, rejected. I mean, it was hateful, as something that you hate under apartheid. And in African tradition and customs of Africa, sometimes you live after your name, and you seemingly personify that name. So it is somewhat of no coincidence that Bantu Biko lived to be the most vociferous, uncompromising resistor against the apartheid regime ideology and philosophy. In fact, Mafrika, in his sayings, Mafrika, the writings and sayings, he personified that resistance, the intellectual uprooting and subversion of the apartheid policy, and to a point where he even said that, you know, I write what I like. Because at that time, you couldn't just write stuff. You, even raising your fist is 6 months in jail. If a police say you're raising your Black Power fist, once they catch you, it's 6 months in jail. So some of his writings, Mafrika, which of course popularized, so you can access them on Google, is Black Man, You Are On Your Own, and The Most Potent Weapon of the Oppressor is in the Mind of the Oppressed. Black Consciousness is an attitude of the mind and the way of life, the most positive call to emanate from the Black world for a long time. Now, to confirm this, Mafrika, because that's the era some of us lived. You could not utter or make noise. It was the most strong, the most fearless, and the most conscious. Now, most of the people were conscious but were scared. Biko and them, I mean, there was a grouping, a small grouping of the Black Consciousness Movement. You could adore them when you saw them. And they stood firm. And I even remember when there was this Frelimo got independence, and the Black Consciousness Movement organized a rally in the face of the tyranny of the apartheid regime. They organized a rally, and Biko and them, they're irreplaceable. That's why we are saying, Africa, between the Black Consciousness Movement and the Pan-Africanist Congress, because these are the forces that were brutalized by the system, but they were the strongest and resistful. Let these precious commodities, let these historical treasures not be wasted by our upstart and rogue attitude for leadership, because everybody wants to lead now. You know, everybody wants to be a leader. No, let the collective lead, and let's listen to one another, because why? Once we get caught up in the cycle and the emotion amongst ourselves, the enemy is laughing to the bank. So to continue with Biko's Righteous Mafrika, the basic tenet of black consciousness is that the black man must reject all value systems that seek to make him a foreigner in the country of his birth and reduce his basic human dignity. And he goes on to say that the whites must be made to realize that they are only human, not superior. Same with blacks. They must be made to realize that they are also human, not inferior. We've mentioned this in the past, Mafrika. But as we're saying that September 12th, when Biko succumbed to the brutalization, Mafrika, I mean, he was driven naked across the country in winter during his detention in a Port Elizabeth prison cell. He had been chained to a grill at night and left to lie in urine-soaked blankets. He had been stripped naked and kept in leg irons for 48 hours in his cell. And all the time, Africa, there were scuffles, there were beatings. And after he had brain injuries, the police drove him naked and manacled in the back of a police van to Pretoria, 556.60 kilometers. It was 556.60 kilometers, which was about 895 miles. So, Mafrika, this day, September 12th, is a day of dedication to Biko. And I saw the folks of Azapo were saying that the prison cell where he was kept in Pretoria, must not be filled with it. It must be left as an historical monument of brutality of the apartheid regime. So, Mafrika, we are celebrating our lives. We are celebrating our contribution to the liberation struggle. But it has to be intensified in terms of the proper governance, control, and accountability to the people. And we should get away from the party rule and the party bosses. That does not work, because it creates political, it creates security insecurity. I mean, it's a problem. It creates insecurity in terms of the governance itself, in terms of security of the state, in terms of being infiltrated by thieves amongst us. Because you talk about black consciousness movement and the question of high discipline, high morale, we have another type of a black person that's interested in stealing from his own state. And they hang around the political bosses. That's how they gain entry, because the political bosses use them, steal and undermine, to steal the fiscals, to steal from the state. So you have a self-multiplying rot. And that's why we are saying that the power of the vote must go back to the people. The people must send their own representatives, so that if you know that so-and-so is hanging around the president. Like, we have a situation where there's a family from India and Pakistan. They are running amok. It's like they are all over. In every department they have, you know, unrestricted access. And they are the ones who tell ministers before the ministers get appointed to positions. So the responsibility, a collective responsibility across the board. The fact is that if you do not put up proper management structures, rules, regulations, oversight, there's going to be waste. Like, we are saying that it's like putting money on the table and walking away. They will use it. It will disappear. Isolate to Mafrika. Fasola Ronaldo Rahina, we thank the opportunity of speaking to you, Mafrika, and the opportunity, the privilege of listening. Thank you.